Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 16 that we read. And I just want to bring out a very few cogent points that you may gloss over. Now, let me start by telling you that the same problem that Jesus had since the day when he was physically with us, those are still the problems we are having now. And I want you to please write and note. Don't just listen. Write and take, you know, note of some of these things I'm saying. Number one, I give an example. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. And today it is still the same problem. And is it that the laborers are not really there? No. It's just that there are so many people who lay claim to the name of Jesus that God cannot use. They are there. There are thousands of people in churches today that have never won a soul this year. So I keep saying to you, when you say, Pastor, I want to know my ministry, forget about that. Go and win souls. There's a ministry of reconciliation that has been committed to everybody. Whether you know you are called as a pulpit minister or not is irrelevant. Your first pulpit is on the street. Come on, say amen. Amen. I say your first pulpit is on. Stop struggling with the pulpit with your pastor. Listen to me. The pastor that preaches on Sunday and doesn't win soul is on his own. Ah, you didn't hear that one. I said the pastor that preaches on Sundays but doesn't win souls personally is on his own. Because it's a task. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Are you hearing me? Everybody can win a soul. You may not come to a church on a Sunday and hear this kind of message. You may hear other things that make you happy. And yet we need to preach as a pastor. I need to tell you other things that make you complete. But you don't need to hear this kind of message in a workers meeting or a workers chain. You need to hear it on a Sunday. So Jesus told us, he said the laborers are few. It's not that the laborers are not there. It's just that the people he can actually place a demand on for the kingdom that will not go and run their own agenda. Are you hearing me? That's why you look at the scriptures and you find that many times Jesus will go to where people are working to call them. Because God doesn't like lazy people. Ministry is hard work. You can be doing it for 6 years and you'll be running at a loss. I was listening to a man who had a consulting firm yesterday, and he said their consulting firm, they ran for 6 years and they never made one profit until the seventh year. So how much can you stay on one thing simply because God said it? You don't have a heart for souls and you want to know who you will marry. Your husband is in your assignment. Ah, you didn't hear that one. Your husband is in your assignment. That thing you are looking for, you are fasting and praying, is in your assignment. There are certain things you will not need to pray about if you will just simply obey God. And that's why we have the word of God. I cannot edit it. Even if I delete what is in my Bible, it's still in your own Bible. Now, if you read that scripture, and please, I want you to go back to that scripture in Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 10. I want to show you something in verse 10 and 11. And when she went, talking about Mary, and told them that they had been with him. No, please go back to verse 9. 9 to 11. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out 7 devils. Are you not surprised that the person Jesus decided to show up to first was somebody that was forgiving much? She wasn't an apostle, but she knew what she was forgiving for. Okay? She would have been dead, but for the ministry of Jesus Christ. It seems to me that those that have a great capacity for compassion are the ones who get to see him often. Come on now. Are you here? I say it seems to me that those with great capacity for compassion, people who see people, you know, winning souls, I will see lost souls as people that need to be brought to Christ, regardless of all the attack against the body of Christ. It seems that God has a way of bringing timely revelations to them more than people who just want to shine with God. I went out to preach yesterday, and I was sharing a story with the choir. You know, I said I was going to share it this morning. And I had spoken to a few people, then I went into this shop, and I saw a brother in a saloon, for a female saloon. And I said, "Hi, bro, how are you doing? I'm Benga and I'm a pastor. Can I share the gospel with you for a few minutes?" Then he looked at me and he said, "Do you not know me?" So I thought maybe somebody I preached to before that I don't recognize. So it's like, I said, "No, have you met before?" He said, are you telling me that you are a pastor and you don't know me? Then I laughed. I said, do you know me? He now brought out his Bible. He brought out his phone and opened the Bible. He said, I'm going to show you something today. You know, on Friday when I was teaching you guys, I spoke to you about spirits you must contend with. And I talk about what? The argumentative spirit. People that just want to argue with you. They enjoy it. They don't preach, oh, but they wait for you to come. Critical spirits. So the guy opened the Bible, Acts chapter 4, I think maybe verse 14, and then he said, and when the council took notice of Peter, they discerned that these men have been with Jesus. The man now said, if truly you're a man of God, you're supposed to discern. I said, excuse me, point of correction. I can do an exegesis on that scripture. I said, but I'm just a man on assignment. Everybody I meet today is in trouble. If I see you, I share the gospel. And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And you're supposed to have seen the mark. I said, I don't see visions. I just share the gospel. I just share the gospel. I don't know. If I run into you, you're in trouble. I got to preach to you. So he said, so how can you tell me? He said, look at what the word of God says. I said, point of correction, sir. They descend, they were with Jesus because they arrested them preaching. Hello? They were not in a female saloon with three women. He said, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. So I asked him, why are you not winning souls? What are you doing here? You follow your wife here? Are you plaiting your hair? I said, I'm answering because you say you're a pastor. We don't have time. I said, we have preached in places where someone said he was a pastor and then we still led him to Christ. That you're a pastor doesn't mean nothing. You may just be zealous in your church and they pour oil on your head. You may not even be saved. You may be raping women. It doesn't mean nothing. So the guy said, what I'm trying to tell you, I said, you can't be emphatic. I met you in a saloon. I'm on the, you see me in the rain on the road. You think I don't have anything I'm doing? And I said, you know what, bro? I got to tell you this. Apparently, we're on the same side. You see, but I don't want to waste my time here. He felt offended because I said I was wasting my time. And I said, yes, because you can see me, I'm on the road. I still have places to cover. I have people I need to speak to that I've never met before in my life. And you are here, you want to be arguing, Acts chapter 4, verse 14. If you know, you should be on the road because the guy you are referring to was arrested for preaching in the temple. You are here in a woman's saloon and you are not a makeup artist, you are nothing. Just looking so yellow, amen. You got to get serious with your life. So you have people like that. Who you think is going to be in church, this man is going to preach. So if you have that kind of a pastor as your pastor, how do you want to win so? Even him doesn't see any value in it. Sits in the rain, in a saloon for women, filled with women, arguing Acts chapter 4. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the battle is real. It's not on social media. It's here. When you want to meet the real people, you go into the streets. Are you hearing me now? You are going to talk to your boss, and your boss will tell you that I'm born again. But you know where you met him. You know? We know all of them. All those people who say they are Christians. But they are committing sin in the office. We know them. We have all their numbers. And this week, we are going to call them. Say amen. I said we are going to call them. All of them, we know them. We have been collating their names. You see, this woman was forgiving much. It only made sense that she was the one to see Jesus. Give me the next verse. And she went and told them. Who did she tell? The disciples that had been with him. What did she meet them doing? They were mourning and weeping. Oh, our master is gone. That's how she met them. Now, you will make a mistake of assuming that because they were crying, that they were in the faith. Go to the next verse. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what did they do? They did not believe. You see, they were crying. Oh. And you promised me. You think people are in church? You better find out why people are crying. I'm telling you, we are crying for different reasons. I preached to a lady and she was crying. And I thought, you know, God had arrested her. And I said, sister, are you ready to give her up? She said, no. I said, no. Wait. You know, the way she was crying, I felt like, wow, she's touched. God has given us a soul. She said, no. And I said, so why are you crying? She said, I can't follow your Jesus because I don't know who will pay my school fees. If I follow this your Jesus, I won't go to school. I won't graduate because my aunt is not ready to sponsor me. And the only way I can be a graduate in the future is if I sell my body. So I can't accept Jesus. This is a live conversation with the niece of a director in PHCM. So the battle is real. He said they believe not. Next verse. These were the apostles who were crying and weeping. You would think they love God, but they didn't believe. Nobody has ever faced, and I was watching this on YouTube last night, nobody has ever faced the crucifixion and lived to tell the story. You see, the way those Roman guys, the way they beat you with cudgel, you know those things, if they smash it, even when you see the shape of that thing, when they hit, before they hit you, you die. I'm not joking. There is nobody, do you know the funny thing? When they put you on that cross like this, and they, let me tell you, in the Roman culture, the hand is not, this is not the hand. You see my five fingers, this is what we call the hand. But in the Roman culture, the hand starts from here. If they had nailed Jesus here, there would have been a problem. Because when he hung on the cross, his hand won't be able to sustain his weight. So they put the nail here. And you can imagine how many vital veins are running through it. So they puncture directly the blood vessels. So they put him there like that. Then they put one leg over the other and use a 9-inch nail. You need to go look up all these things because you need to understand that somebody died for this thing. And you cannot be at ease in Zion. It is a sin to be at ease in Zion. You don't have to be a pastor, but you can be spiritually effective and relevant. All the excuses we render and bring before the Lord is not tenable. Because he said in Revelation chapter 2, he said, behold, I am coming back. And my reward is with me. Reward is for those who are walking. Not for those who come to church. This is due respect to the fact that you actually need to come to church. But your church is supposed to train you. Because when I stand before God, this is one of the things God will use to mark me. Were you an encourager of men? Were you able to encourage people to go and bring souls? Were you also a soul winner? How many souls did you win? And numbers are important. There's a book, an entire book in the scripture is called Numbers. For you to know that numbers matter. There's a huge decline in the U.S. right now on souls. People are throwing away their Bibles. The challenge for me is that this battle is so critical. It is so terrible that the people who are refusing to believe are Christians. And I'm going to tell you how you need to preach the gospel. It's very simple. It is not enough to emotionally engage and yet fail in our response of faith. It is not enough to emotionally engage. There's a place for emotions, and if you stay long around here, you will know. There's a place in which how we worship God, we can shed tears before Him. We can kneel, we can prostrate, we can give our complete worship to Him. But we must not fail in our response of faith. The challenge of engaging with God by faith has been an age-long problem. People prefer what makes sense to them, something they can relate with. But God is not always in the relatable. Look at verse 14. And when he appeared unto them, after when he appeared unto the 11 and he sat at meat with them, what did he do? He upbraided them. That means he rebuked them. You walked with me for 3 years and I sent my messenger to tell you that I'm alive and you did not believe. Jesus didn't come and say, oh, my boys, you know, did you miss me? I was just gone for 3 days, you know. I went to hell, the kingdom of hell, I collected. There was no time for that. Jesus was shocked. That even a John, hey, you see, there's what we call crowd effect. You believe, but because you are with some of your friends, who believe that the gospel will be preached anyhow. So you believe that somebody else is responsible for sharing the gospel. You believe that somewhere, somebody, God is using somebody. It's not a calling, it is our calling. Come on now, I say it's our calling. God wants people to join the church, at least, on the number of levels. Number one, if you attend a church where you are not being fed spiritually, you should move. There's no emotion to it. If you are not being fed, if you go to Mama Rishikat in behind my house, or what's that woman's name? Mama Bilkis. You know, I just moved to the area, so I decided to check it out. So if you are introduced to Mama Bilkis, and you got there and then you found female air beside the egusi soup, you just say, it's a mistake. Then when you are trying to look at the egusi soup, you now found a nail, a small part of her artificial nail. Say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, it's just one of those things. And then he says, what's my B? Say 1.5. And then I do like, say, I enjoy the meal. I'm sure the moment you see the air, you'll be screaming. You'll be shouting. You know, guys are not used to those kind of things. So you'll be screaming, you'll be shouting. You'll be shouting, what is this? You people want to poison me, it's just air. It's just air. That's what ladies spend 3 hours under this thing. That's what they do. It's just air. But you'll be screaming. Isaac can't take it. He can't stand it. What's this? How can I be seeing your nails? I asked for egusi soup, not egusi with female air. So how do you expect that if you being evil can tell what you don't want? Thinking that God will take just anything. I bring you this message in love. And I just want you to know, everybody can win it. So, come on, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus rebuked them from the hardness of for their unbelief and hardness of their heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him. You see? He sent a woman to them. But you know, we don't believe in women ministry.
Yes, sir.
We don't believe. What's a woman going to tell you? What's she going to say? What's she going to say? You know, that mindset of what's she going to say? She's just a woman. The society doesn't recognize you. Just the way you allow people to talk down on you. Meanwhile, the call of God is over your life. Hallelujah. And this is why we don't see so much healings and deliverance and miracles. Because the miracles happen on the road. Let me tell you something about the hardness of the heart. How do you know if your heart is hardened? Number one. When hearing the word of God doesn't move you into a positive direction, your heart is getting hardened. You hear the word of God, it doesn't move you. For you, it's just another rhetoric. For you, it's just something like the pastor has to, you know, that 15 minutes where the pastor needs to say something. When you hear the word of God and your heart is not moved, those two disciples on the road of Emmaus, they said, was our heart not moved within us when he spoke to us? There was nobody Jesus ever spoke to that his heart was not moved, either positively or negatively. You're either going to be, you know, guilt. You're going to feel the guilt if you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Or you're going to be moved. There was a day Jesus was preaching and a woman stood up and said, blessed is the woman who gave you suck. She was moved. And people are getting moved all the time, but you need to go beyond that movement. But you see, if your heart is getting hardened, one of the signs you will see is that when the word of God is coming forth, it will make no sense to you. Number two, your heart is getting hardened when you are comfortable in your lukewarmness. When you are comfortable in your lukewarmness. Number three, when you cry and weep and yet do not repent. Do you know it's possible to cry and weep and not repent? When you cry and weep, but you are not really repenting, you are just crying. You know. Number four, when the fate of sinners in the hands of a righteous God does not bother you. When the fate of sinners do not bother you, your heart is getting hardened. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, "Self, behold, I will give you a new heart, and I will write my laws upon your heart." So if the heart God gave us is a heart like his own, and what bothers God does not bother you, then we need to come into a place of repentance and asking for a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. Number five. When you believe in the power of God to save, but quietly choose not to trust him completely. When you believe in the power of God to save, but in your mind, you quietly choose to have other solutions by the side, your heart is getting hardened. Number six, when you expect the Lord to be faithful to you, but God can't count on your own faithfulness. Come on now, did you hear that? When you expect the Lord to be faithful to meet your needs, and yet God cannot count on you to be faithful in this task of soul winning. Number seven, when you clearly see God's power in demonstration, and yet you do not believe. Like these disciples here. Why must we preach the gospel? Number one, so that we can depopulate the kingdom of hell. I remember several years ago while I was growing up, you know, I said to my mom, like, you know, my mom is a prophet. So I said to my mom, I said, Mama, when did you give your life to Christ? And she said a long time ago. I said, Mama, if you are born again, you will know. Are you hearing me now? I say, Mama, regardless of your prophecy or whatever, the day Jesus comes into your heart, you will know. It's not gift. It's grace. Are you hearing me now? Years after, when she gave her life to Christ, and she became a pastor in the Redeemed Church, so I asked her again, Mama, are you born again now? She said, yes, I know it in my heart. I said, you see, there's a difference. There's a difference. It's not prophesying. There are people that are prophesying that are not born again. And in case you think I have anything about prophecy, I'm a prophet. So don't worry. I'm just telling you that many times we are checking the wrong indices. You have a colleague in your office who tells you that, anytime I dream, the dream always come to pass. And you are looking at her, this guy is not born again. So in your mind, you think, when we are in the office, in the bank, they say, okay, one Muslim should pray, in the spirit of oneness, that Muslim needs Christ. And I will come back and share with you why an average Muslim, and I will quote the Quran to you. I will come down, maybe I will download a copy, we'll display it here. I will quote from the Quran to you why a Muslim, I will quote from the scriptures, from their scriptures, why the core principles why a Muslim will never accept what you say and what you can do to convert them. Hallelujah. So we need to share the gospel so we can depopulate the kingdom of heaven. And I got to say this to you. You have to start reading. Many of us are lazy. If you don't read, if you don't go online, see what God is doing in China. See what God is doing in Japan. See what God is doing in Ivory Coast. I hope you know that the English language, it's just, I think, maybe approximately 20% of world languages. I don't know if you know. That there are areas and regions in the world that have languages that cover more people groups, more than English. So you stay here and think God speaks English. God is not an Englishman. In fact, I think maybe we even have more French. In Africa, we have more French colonies. Am I right? We have more French colonies. So which language do you think God should be speaking? So it's not just this high-sounding revelation, the transcendental allocation of the grace of God and pressing into the third dimension and the relocation of the transcendental might. I hear you, but I don't understand. I hear you. You see, if there's any language, God should be speaking French. You can be simple and deep. Are you hearing me? And thank God we went to school. I have a degree, and I'm back in school. Somebody called me during the week and said, I feel the call of God is so strong upon my life, I don't want to graduate. He called me and he was asking for my permission for an eternal decision. So I asked him a question. I said, so when you want to get married and you go to, and I happen to be your future father-in-law. And then I asked him, so young man, where did you study? He said, well, I was a final year psychology student, but I didn't graduate because of the call of God over my life. I said, now you are talking to a pastor who also went to school. So you want to marry my daughter and you expect that you sell that to me and I'm going to take it. I'm not, no. So you want my daughter to marry you by faith for your own? No. No, you got to find a wife your level. I'm telling you why many people abort their destiny. God is not in a hurry to use you. He's in a hurry to prepare you. Come on now. God is not in a hurry to use you, but he needs to prepare you, because some people went ahead and God lost them. They didn't come back. They tried to go and win the world. Then they went and God started the GPRS. They couldn't find the guy. I'm telling you. So he went to win the world and they won him. I'm telling you. God, if you can just provide me this job, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I remember I led a soul to Christ. I was in Ibadan. And I took there's this church, scripture pastor, Pastor Luby Johnson, if you're in Ibadan. So I took the lady is a celestial church member. So I told her to follow me to church. I wanted her to see what our own kind of church is like. And you see, because I've been in that system before, I know the way we worship God there. We start 10 a.m. and we end like 3 or 4. So I can tell you the song we start with. You want me to sing it for you? No. Because today is a holy day. But we did that and I did it for years. And let me tell you, some of the contention you are experiencing is because not only God knows that there's a mandate over your life, Satan knows. Are you hearing me? Satan knows. And they are both working over time to get you in line with the purpose of God. They are both working over time. Let me tell you, there's something that is called a soul winner's crown. Eh? Not everybody will get it. You have to be a soul winner to get it. So we need to depopulate hell. And whether you like it or not, the devil is working over time. He's anointing people, ordaining people. And what you do is that you spend your time on Instagram checking out that new single by Davido. That's what you do. You make it look like you are just checking Instagram, but you are checking Davido. Those guys are anointed to do what they do, but it's not for our God. I saw a lady that was practically naked on Instagram, and she was asking people dressed like that, just ask me any question. I'm here. I just want to answer your question. And she had over 100,000 people glued to the screen. And one was saying, oh, I'm going to get married next week. Any relationship advice? If you don't know why, because she's American, if you don't know these things, you will not know why God has turned his back. You will not know. You think God is at your mercy. God has been alive before time started counting. And then after the post, the lady now posted something and said, God, she's something about a post about Christianity, but she was stark naked. So those are the people that are ministering to us now. They tell you don't judge. Let's wait till we see the judge. But this is as serious. The contention of my generation, sir, is not like the contention of the previous generation. In those days, we took the battle to the gates of enemy. Now the devil brought the battle to us. And he's fighting for the soul of our children. And our children are finding it very hard to be convinced about what we say about Christ. They are asking questions that parents cannot answer. You say Jesus is God. You say the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, so where is the Holy Spirit? Can I see him? People are asking questions. And then you now realize how much of a spiritual illiterate that you are. I didn't say you are not crying. I didn't say you are not weeping. I didn't say you are not praying. I said that your children are asking you questions that you don't have the answer. You just tell them, yeah, by faith. But you don't have answers. They want answers. My children know all my passwords. When I was growing up, nobody heard anything about a password. Just pick your book and read. Why do we need to preach the gospel? Because God commands it. God commands it. The Bible says, and the Lord was walking with them. In Mark chapter 16. Confirming the words they spoke with signs and wonders. God commands it. If you are truly a member of this house, you are going to embrace the task of sowing. Because our Father commands it. Our Father commands it. And everybody can win his soul. Number three, because we are obedient children, that's why we must preach. Because we are obedient children. You see, this message is very simple. Even if you are new in Christ, you will understand it. You understand? It's English. Because our Father commands it. There's no other way. You see, I said to you last week, when we come in corporate worship like this, we can choose our response in worship. We can choose to kneel to worship. You can choose to stand to worship, but when it comes to serving God, God determines how he wants to be served. Number four, we must preach because God wants every nation to be presented before him. Listen to me, it is not our fathers of faith that we do it. It's now in our hands. Come on, say amen. I say it's not our fathers anymore. The battle is now where? In our hands. And listen to me. I was inside Mende yesterday. And I saw, you know, Mende is not this thing at the back. There is a Mende inside. Inside. I took a bike there. People just sit and lounging. This morning I've won a soul. This morning. this morning. I went inside my day again. And I saw a man just lurking. And I said, sir, how are you? What are you doing here? He said, oh, somebody's trying to work for somebody. I said, okay, have you called the person? He said, okay, while we wait, let's have a chat. Where are you from? He said, I'm from Ikorodu, somewhere Aruna. Then I showed him the scar upon my neck. This is my emblem for witnessing. It works every time. And I told the man about how I was waiting for surgery, and I had my neck was split open 4 times. I had to go back for that surgery about 4 times. And they cut my neck open, and my folks thought I would not make it. And now Jesus came in and healed me, and also healed me of hepatitis. And if you see, it makes a lot of sense. You are not preaching spiritual jargon. Because at the center of that testimony, there's a principal subject, Jesus. And I'm telling you, this Jesus that healed me has paid the price for your redemption. He has paid the price for your sin. You don't have to carry that guilt anymore. You don't have to carry the weight of the world over you anymore. Jesus came to set the captives free. Then the man, he was looking very unkempt, and he said to me, please, can I have your number? And I said, I'll give you my number, and not just that, I lead you to Christ. And just before he left, I held his hands and I held his shoulders. You see, when you are doing this kind of work, you don't talk about somebody's dirty. You have to learn how to hug. Are you hearing me? I held him and I led him to say the sinner's prayer. And then I told him, after your work today, let's stay in touch. The souls are there. If you just choose to stop speaking English, the souls are there. A large population of unsaved people in Lagos are not educated. So if you really want to work, put your English by the side. And what the devil did was he came against us in such a way that many of us cannot even speak our local dialect so well. Say, so yeah, you know, we just got back from the States, you know, depending. While we're flying, you know, we're just about to take off. And then I was in the, just beside me was, you know, this guy, the special assistant to the, you know. You know, but my friend in the UK said, these are things we put on. You see that accent? We put it on. You see, when we are coming to Nigeria, we put it on. So you can know we are just, even though we just spent 2 weeks, even though we only spent 2 weeks in London, but we come back and wear it. I say, no, yeah, you know. That doesn't bother God. That accent is your own. You understand? It's for you. He doesn't care. The white man doesn't even understand why you talk that way. I'm not joking. One of my pastors, you see, because there are things we do, we think we are woke. But these are the things making us ineffective. Say, pastor, we just got back from the States. Oh, okay, you just spent like, when did you go? He said, just like 3 months ago. Oh, yeah. And there was a white man with the pastor. So my pastor asked the other white man, do you understand what they say? He said, I don't understand what they say. The man now said, can you see yourself? Even this white man doesn't understand what you are saying. He just called his wife. Go and prepare back for them. Oh, yeah, follow my wife. Go and prepare back. You are not serious. You just spent 3 months. Just 3 months. You didn't come back to say, pastor, I led a soul to Christ when I was in London. You came speaking phonetic to your pastor. And I'm supposed to be impressed. Say, go and prepare back for them. Let their voice clear. I don't understand what is. Where does God mandate us to preach? Because some people are asking, where do we preach? Go to verse 20. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached. They preached. They preached. Everywhere. This is ABC. They preached everywhere. And the Lord was walking with them. Do you know what that means? Kenny, please come. Let me show what it means when you say the Lord was walking with them. So let's assume, I'm trying to win his soul to Christ. So let's assume I'm the pastor or the evangelist. Then I'm sharing the gospel with him. Then I will also play the role of the Lord Jesus. So I'm saying, have you met Jesus? He said, yeah, that's my church over there. He said, no, I'm not talking of church. I mean, she Jesu ti wonu okun, she ti ba Jesu pade, you know. Okay. Okay, let me, you know, now you have to share the gospel with him. Now, this is the evangelist. Imagine I'm here and I'm talking. Then the Lord comes here. Listen to what he's telling. Listen to what he's telling. He's a man of God. He's telling the truth. I will help you. Give your heart to me. And then me, I'm on this other side. You see, the Lord was walking, not strolling. Hallelujah. He was walking. You are not the only evangelist. He got to that location before you. You understand? You thought you were the one who woke up and decided to come out. The Lord woke up that morning and got there before you.
Hallelujah.
He said he was walking with them. The Lord didn't retire. He was walking with them. He went to heaven. You are thinking of going to heaven. He left heaven, came back to walk with you.
Hallelujah. Glory.
So you think it's what you said that the person heard. It was the voice of the Spirit behind him that was saying, listen, listen, listen. Listen, I will walk you through. I will save your family. I will help you. Listen to him. Listen to him. Then Kenny now says, Pastor, pray for me. I'll pray for you. God will help you. Father, save his soul. Say with me, Jesus. Then you see, the reason why we ask people to say something is because we establish a covenant by words. It's not rhetoric. So the Lord was walking with them. And that is how miracles happen easily. Because it happened on the field. Thank you, sir. I shared the story as I began to round up of a woman that I, when I went for that crusade in Mubi, Adamawa State. Now, it's not common for you, for when you attend a PFN meeting, you know PFN, Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. It's a meeting for pastors, 700. But I gave altar call. I gave altar call because I've stayed long enough to know there are many pastors who are not saved. There are many pastors' wives who are not born again. They think they are born again. So it's normal for me to give an altar call. You may be here. I don't know. You may be here and you need Jesus. So come. And the woman called me, and I remembered I was in church here just in front of the gate. And the woman called me and said, she spoke to me in Yoruba. And she said, I'm from Mubi. I said, my movie people. So I tried to play with her. She now said, Pastor, I'm sick and I'm dying. But I missed the healing meeting the day you prayed for people who are sick. And I heard people got healed. I said, okay, let me pray for you. So I prayed for her. And then she called me a week after. And she said, Pastor, do you remember me? I said, yes. Say, how are you, Mama? Safe? Because she's quite old. And she said, fine. And I said, Mama, how's your body? She said, it's much better. I said, praise God. Okay, Mama, have a great day. She now said, wait. There's a reason why I'm calling you. And I said, why? She said, I'm not born again. Eh? You know, the moment she said that, I asked her a question. Mama, what church do you attend? She told me. Then, you see, I remember that the Lord was working with them. God checked the whole of Mubi. God checked the whole of Adamawa and said, this person will be saved on the phone. I didn't bother asking her where a regional pastor is or anything. She said, a woman called, an elderly woman called to tell me that she was not saved. God had finished the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? God had spoken to her spirit. She woke up that morning and gave me a phone call. I have never seen this woman in my entire life. She just said, Pastor, me oti di atumbi. You know, I don't know if you understand the weight of that. God has finished the work. He now told her, use your credit. And I told her, Mama, because this is our work, you understand? Mama, let me call you back. She said, no, I've loaded my credit. Keep talking. I said, wow. The Lord was working with them. You don't really know how God will work with you until you step out.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, we were under the rain, and we led a total number 27. As of this morning, 27. In Lekki, we won about 10 souls under the rain. There's no excuse. Because the devil is not sleeping. You understand? God does not sleep. Satan does not sleep. It is why men slept that the enemy sowed tears. Are you a man? You are a spirit. Spirits don't sleep. We travel in the place of prayer for every soul. We travel. You know, the way we preached yesterday, it's normal to go to bed praying for those souls. You understand what I'm saying? You pray for them. Because you are walking. You don't want the seed to be wasted. You sowed the seed. They have said the sinner's prayer. My brother here, seated at the other in brown suit, joined us and came with another pastor from another church. This is not about Harvest World Assembly. This is Kingdom Enterprise. Stop wasting your time doing program. Let's go out. And I let the, you know, I'm not very versed in speaking Yoruba. But that day, I knew that if there was any way I would lead this woman to Christ, I have to pray in Yoruba. So I released my faith. You know, and I'm telling you, it's a real faith. So that I won't be using past participle with future tense. You understand? I said, Father, because I asked her, should I pray? Can I pray in English? She said, yes. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, Alagbara, and my tongue just loosed. And I led her to Christ in Yoruba. And the moment I finished the prayer, the thing withdrew. So when I get to heaven, I'll be watching out for that woman. So when we get to heaven, we can be singing together. Koma son wuto le she o atobi ju o. Koma son, you won't, if you don't attend our local church, you can't understand that one. Your woke generation, you know, just you don't. This is the song that when we sing, we think of God. Oh, Lorun Igbala. Don't worry, this is not Yoruba church. So we preach everywhere. How do I evangelize? The first task of evangelism is to realize that you cannot win a soul without the help of the Holy Spirit. Please note that. You cannot win any soul without the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, last Sunday, I shared with you some statistics from the U.S., and about the decline in the Christian faith. And I showed you some, I was explaining some statistics to you. And just here, again during the week, I got some fresh statistics on about 10,000 Christians and how they got saved. And from what I shared with you, for those of you who are on the Wednesday service online, you can go get the message on YouTube, on my page, or on Mixlr. 79% said they got born again by coming to church simply because their friends invited them. So, and only 6% said they gave their life to Christ because they liked the pastor. So you can imagine now, as I'm talking now, only 6% of you. Just imagine. And I'm here thinking, I'm performing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about the pastor. That this church can continue to run without my input. That's what God is saying. That if we have the united people, they will deliver the souls. Are you hearing me? They will what? They will deliver the souls. That the impact on that poll on 10,000 people had only 6% input from the pastor. That means together we are stronger. Hallelujah. I say together we are stronger. Whether you know the Bible or not, if you have John 3:16, you are good to go. So you pray. And ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as you share the word of God, before you share the word of God with those people. So you pray for their souls. Number two. Share a scripture with them. Don't bombard them with so many Bible verses. Don't quote Hebrews. Don't quote Lamentation. Don't quote Revelation. Don't quote the book of Numbers. Don't quote Leviticus. Those are things that complicate your message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You have to learn how to do this thing within 7 minutes. Get the job done and move on. You can't stay forever with one person. You have many souls waiting for you. After that man almost broke my head yesterday. That pastor that was not winning soul, but knows Acts chapter 4. Because I told him, you are wasting my time. I still preach about you yesterday, argumentative spirit. I preached about you. I preached about you yesterday. I didn't know you'd be here today, but I preached about you. I said, so let me go. I need to win. So say you can see I'm on assignment. You are here with your girlfriend. Me, I need to go. But make sure you are winning souls. Huh? Make sure you are winning souls. The guy was offended because of the word of God. I'm not looking at your face. If you are in my constituency and you are not working, I have no respect for you. My relationship with anybody, as far as the faith is concerned, is not emotional, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. I shared the story with you guys when I was a cell pastor. I think my time is up. When I was a cell pastor in Redeem, and there was a brother, sorry, not a brother, a daddy, it's an elderly man, who used to smoke like a chimney. He smokes like a chimney. And his wife was a deaconess. And he was the head of building committee. So is it Baba Adeboye that will come and save his soul again? What about the people in that church, in that parish? If Baba Adeboye at his age is going out and doing Let's Go and Fish, and Bishop Edekpo is out every week winning 2,000 souls, You now want to stand beside those ones and collect crown. Are you joking? You better stay at the back. Say, yeah. We were those that were operating in Maryland. Is it Maryland, USA or China? As I walked away from that brother, that my friend, you know, and I saw another guy who wore this overall, covered his head, you know, in the rain, and he was just doing like this, you know, homies, you know, he was just doing like this, and there was this girl beside him, amen, praise God, he's just there, and I just, and I saw his hair like dreads, you know, and they are my kind of guys, because those ones listen to you. They don't argue, Acts 4:14. I'm telling you, there are certain people God does not really understand, and they are in the church. God has studied them. He still doesn't know what to say. It's like a research topic. They are the ones quoting Acts 4:14. So I saw this brother, and I said to him, yo, bro, what's up? How are you doing? He just shook him. Say, Alpha. I say, what are you doing here? Say, oh, no, I just got to get something. He was just speaking, you know, rapping. And I said to him, I said, bro, have you met Jesus? I mean the real Jesus. He said, you know. I said, look, young man, I was once like you. God loves you. And he wants to be part of your life. He doesn't want you to be wasted. He doesn't want your life to be. He has a plan for you, and that plan is beautiful, and you can trust him with your life. And then he looked at me. He said, Pastor, can I have that flyer in your hands? I said, why not? And I gave it to him. He said, Pastor, can I have your number? And I gave it to him. Then he was about to go, and I said, wait. We're not doing flyer here. Close your eyes. Can I pray with you? He says, do you want Jesus? I say, yes. I say, Jesus, I want you. I want you. Take my spirit, take my soul, take my body, change my life. If the words this man says is true, then I want to experience you. I want to know you. I want you to be part of my life. I want you to take ownership of my life. And I began to pray with him. And the girlfriend stood there and was watching us. And then I asked him, what's his name? What's your name? And he told me. And I got his number. And I still spoke to him, sent him a message last night. I still called him this morning. That's how to be a Christian. That's how to make God happy. Just share a scripture. My time is up. Just share a scripture. Then share your testimony. Did you hear me? I'm telling you how to make it easy. Pray for the soul. Pray for the lost soul. Share a scripture that is talking about salvation. Then share your testimony. People understand stories. Yeah. Come on now. People understand stories. So it's not there you'll be manufacturing story. You have to know your salvation story before you get there. Hallelujah. 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 Then after you've shared the gospel with them, then you ask them, give them the opportunity to give their life to Christ. Okay? Then after they make that decision, there is nobody that doesn't want help from God. I went to preach somewhere yesterday, and I met the mama opening her shop. And the man said, Mama, good morning. She just looked at me and turned like this. She suspected who I was. You know? And I tell you, when you go, sometimes don't go with your Bible. They will suspect you. So I got there, I said, Mama, she just saw me. She suspected. She just, Do you know what I did? I didn't wait for her. I just said, Mama, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray over this shop. I declare blessings upon the owners of this shop. I declare from today the hand of God is here. She started saying, Amen. 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 I said, Mama, you will not weep over your children. I see God coming into your life, into your children. She started, Amen, 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 Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. As I told her, she said, come. Ah, come, don't go now. He said, it's a tactic. Eh? Nobody rejects prayer. You see that your tight face is not going to do anything. Everybody knows you're an evangelist, but your face is too tight. She told you, don't waste time. You begin to pray and bless them. They know that you are not joking. You didn't come here to waste your time. Glory to God. Rise to your feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.